Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 16th, 2020, from my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at how a majority of Senate Republicans want to check the governor's emergency powers and what the governor thinks about it. Governor McMaster also toured a plant that produces practical face shields for non-medical applications. Dr. Linda Bell explains why testing numbers don't provide the entire picture in the state. We dive into the latest data from DHEC and listen to a new voicemail. Speaking of voicemails, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169, and tell us what's going on in your world. If you're working, if you're out of work, if you're concerned about going out, tell us what's up. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, yet plateauing, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 380 deaths, and currently there are 8,407 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of May 15th at 4 p.m. Now, unless there are more than 212 cases announced on Saturday, this will be our third week of declining cases. Small declines, but declines nonetheless, and still below our highest case week ending April 11th with 1,291 cases. And unless these numbers get revised or there's a jump, we'll be in the second week of declining death rates as well. Also, as of May 14th, 84% of the first 6,043 individuals for which DHEC has symptom data on are estimated to have recovered from the virus. 16% are estimated to remain ill, and currently there are 423 hospitalized. Mass testing of the state's nursing homes are underway, and deaths of nursing home residents and staff totaled 92 as of Thursday. Now for some politics, and trust me, this is not going to be that meat lover pizza that we had on Thursday, but more of a Cobb salad, something light, something refreshing for spring. Anderson Republican Senator Richard Cash, who's best known for being the flag bearer of all things anti-abortion in the Senate, introduced a bill on Tuesday that would clamp down on the governor's emergency powers by requiring him to obtain the explicit consent of the General Assembly to continue his emergency declarations. It would also forbid successive emergency orders. Now, this came right before the governor declared a fifth state of emergency after a previous order expired, which happens after 15 days. Instead of having the General Assembly, which has been out of session for weeks, return and approve an extension, the governor just declares a new one with some changes. Now, Cash's bill got moved to committee, as all new bills do. But to prove his point on Tuesday, he also introduced a non-binding resolution regarding the issue. There was some floor debate over the matter, which had several Democrats defending the Republican governor, including one who, if you're a diehard leader, does not need an introduction on this podcast.
But we gotta give the chief executive officer of the state some flexibility. We in a pandemic.
Okay, if you don't know that voice, it's Charleston Democratic Senator Marlon Kimpson of Brown Liquor fame.
Brown Liquor.
Here's Kimpson again and a very shook Senate President Harvey Peeler.
One day, I might be governor.
Oh.
I know that scares some of you. Might scare me. But the fact is that if we read this resolution, that means we gonna be coming back every 15 days. Somebody's gotta make these calls. We got 7,000 people that have been affected by this virus. We got over 300 deaths. We talking about coming back here every 15 days. We talking about nitpicking.
Rock Hill Republican Senator Wes Clymer, who supported the resolution, was asked by Kimpson if the governor has abused his power.
I don't believe the governor acted with malice.
I believe it is clearly the case that the governor acted outside the bounds of the statute as it's written, outside the law. I don't believe it was malice. In fact, I think he acted in that way in sincere, honest, and good faith effort to help the people who elected him to serve. And so, I reiterate, we are a nation of laws, and the law says what the law says.
Oconee Senator Thomas Alexander was one of just four Republicans to join Democrats in opposition to the resolution.
Under the circumstances that we find ourselves today, I don't feel comfortable and will not be supporting this message that we're trying to send on this day.
The vote was 17-16 with 6 excused absences. When asked about this check on his power, McMaster responded Friday during a press conference.
Well, the resolution there that you mentioned about the executive orders, each of these declarations of emergency are separate and independent. We began addressing one thing, the spread of the virus. Now we're focusing, as we've gone along, it's been an evolving thing, and we're focusing mainly now on reopening and on testing and tracking. And those sorts, they're different types of states of emergency. However, now is not the time. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We've got over 400,000 people that are drawing unemployment, that are out of work. We've got businesses trying to open. People want to know when they will be able to go back to school. We've got half our child care centers closed. Now is not the time to be having an academic argument over those kind of things.
And the continuing resolution approved by the legislature also has a bit of power check on McMaster. While it authorizes him to receive the $1.9 billion in federal funds, the CR requires the legislature to receive spending plans by state agencies that request that money. Several other important bills were approved Tuesday by the General Assembly, including one that creates a statewide rape kit tracking system and another one that forbids female inmates from being shackled while giving birth. COVID-19-related bills and any bills that have passed the House or Senate will be able to be debated and, if possible, voted upon in the off-season under the sign-and-die resolution. Now, the only dates we know for sure that lawmakers are returning are for 2 weeks, starting September 15th. We have new unemployment claim data for the week ending May 9th. 32,513 South Carolinians filed their initial claim for unemployment, marking the fourth week of decline. The total number of claims since mid-March is now 486,149, and the total payout of benefits, which include regular unemployment insurance and federal benefits, is $1.1 billion. Department of Employment and Workforce Chief of Staff Jamie Suber spoke about the payouts and what it means for those who may be called back to work.
As businesses are opening up and they're starting to deploy or re-engage strategies for re-employment, we now want to ensure that those that have claims that have not been processed and those that are eligible for benefits, please understand that we will do all we can to ensure that those benefits are made available to those individuals retroactively, even though they may be going back to work. Again, we understand that these are favorable signs, but we understand that work still needs to be done.
Now, tucked away in an industrial park in West Columbia is Zverse. It's a local 3D manufacturing and software company that pivoted to support frontline workers in the face of the pandemic. Inside a mostly empty warehouse, there's a mobile production line of workers who are opening boxes, putting in components for face shields the company has been producing, and then taping them back up and putting them on pallets ready to ship. Now, since the company's pivot, it's produced more than 3 million of these head-mounted shields and will have produced 10 million by July. But now it's ramping up production of a shield for more practical, everyday personal use. So imagine the traditional shield, but flip it. Make it more open and wear it around your neck. John Carrington presents the Z-Shield Flex.
This is designed first and foremost to be comfortable, very lightweight. As you can see, it allows me to communicate clearly, both verbally and non-verbally. But it's an effective barrier from me transferring droplets from my nose or mouth onto maybe food I'm handling or to the customer themselves. Most importantly, it's also protective for the employee. It prevents me from actually having to touch my face. Here, you know, it's going to be 90 degrees today. Wearing a mask is very uncomfortable and gets very hot. Finally, what makes this also very unique is if I'm on break or need to take a sip of water or take a phone call, I can just flip it down and I can take it off, you know, just like that. And so we believe like this will actually encourage more compliance as well and actually be more effective.
John Carrington is the owner of Zverse. He said he's been testing the product with large restaurant and grocery store chains as his company is ramping up production of the new shields that you really hardly notice except for a light glare and the small plastic collar. But it's not just a new product for his company, it's a massive reinvention.
Our company does a lot of 3D printing internally, not injection molding. And so when we moved from the first few thousand, we were producing with 3D printing. But once we moved to injection molding, we are using our partners as our technology partners. So we're actually a software company that actually supports distributed manufacturing. And so we're using our partners that already existed to do the injection molding today. And so that's being done in South Carolina, North Carolina, as well as Minnesota today. We're about to move in. This is a temporary warehouse facility. We had to stand up a big logistics operation very quickly. We will soon be moving into a new 30,000 square foot facility in which we'll be bringing in more manufacturing in there. And so you would see a lot more advanced 3D printing technology as well as potentially injection molding technology right here.
8 weeks ago, his company had 25 employees and has since hired 30 new ones. And he expects to hire up to 100 this year. Governor McMaster, who was also touring the site and donning a shield, said having a supply chain like this in the state boosts confidence as the state reopens.
We need a supply of personal protective equipment. And we're bringing it in from all over. And a lot of it comes through the emergency management division. A lot goes straight to the hospitals and other people who order it. But this having this located here gives us a comfort and also the innovation and the thought, the thinking that went into it, again, gives us one more option of a way to accelerate back into our full prosperity safely.
Carrington said the face shields, which will cost around $20, are reusable and can be easily cleaned. Now, you may remember from our last episode the accolades Dr. Anthony Fauci gave our state for its handling of the COVID-19 situation. But many have been concerned about the state's testing over the previous few weeks. State epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell addressed the low rates on Monday.
Well, there are a number of reasons. One of them had to do with the shortage of supplies. And of course, most states did experience a shortage of supplies. And so we did prioritize our testing for those who were sickest initially to make sure that hospitals and healthcare providers and emergency responders could be tested. And then we progressively made recommendations to providers to expand that testing. But another factor is that in some states that were harder hit than South Carolina with disease morbidity, with disease activity, when they were doing the same prioritized testing process for those who were sicker because they had more sick people, like in New Orleans and New York, well, they were still testing within the same priority groups, but there were far more people in that category. So South Carolina at that time, when we had a shortage of supplies, didn't have as big of an impact of people who were severely ill. That's another reason why we had not tested as widely. And then another factor is that in our some of our under-resourced areas, we did not have the ability to provide services to get testing supplies to providers in rural areas, and that's another reason why we were establishing those pop-up clinics and working with the partners to establish testing sites to address all of those gaps that we previously saw.
And if you need a test or if you want a test, but really if you're not symptomatic, not really necessary, you can find a pop-up clinic location near you and get tested for free without a doctor's recommendation. You can find locations at accelerate.sc.gov, along with a whole host of other information. And in the last pod, we mentioned how Dr. Bell told Richland County leaders that she was alarmed by the lack of masks and social distancing she has seen when out and about. And on Wednesday, the governor backed up her concerns during a press conference about how people should be following CDC guidelines to wear masks.
I do agree. I agree with the recommendations been made by the CDC as well as our own Department of Health and Environmental Control. People need to be careful. You don't need a mask everywhere, but there are many places where you do need one. Again, we urge people to pay attention to what the health authorities saying. You have to be your own doctor. We can't be policing everyone in the state, but we have given information. The best defense is a well-informed citizenry, and we hope people will be very careful in all of their activities.
True to his word, we saw the governor out at Lizard's Thicket on Wednesday, wearing a mask for the first time. And when I saw him at the Z-verse plant tour, he kept his face shield on from the moment he jumped out of his Suburban. Now, this is our wind-down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you going to work? Are you a medical professional? Have you gone to a restaurant lately? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What did you think of that episode where we talked about etiquette? What kind of manners are you using out and about? Leave us a message, 803-563-7169. This is a new normal. We're all dealing with this. Everyone's handling it their own way. Hopefully you're doing it a good job with it, a terrific job, the best job. 803-563-7169. You might get on the pod. You probably will be on the pod. AT, do we have any messages?
We have a fabulous, tremendous, tremendous voicemail right here.
Hope it's not too huge. Can't be more.
It's huge. It's tremendous. It's huge and tremendous. Here we go.
Hi, I wanted to call in. First of all, say thank you for doing this podcast on such a regular basis now. It's become like my main news source for what's going on in South Carolina. It's been really helpful. We've mostly just been camping out at home, wearing masks whenever we leave the house. We're starting to get ready to settle in for the long haul, and so have been more active about doing takeout than we were before, but we're definitely not going to be going to restaurants. And actually, the opening of restaurants is kind of freaking us out from even doing takeout. So we'll see how things evolve. Just kind of hanging in there. I hope everyone else is too.
Thank you so much for the message. I wish we had your name, caller, but we'll just say thank you. Love that we're a go-to news source for you. Of course, also check out your local newspapers. We love them. Love them. And, you know, I know it's also freaky talking about restaurants. I popped out to one or two just to look. But now today, AT and I, it's Friday. We're going to go to Craft and Draft here in Columbia and talk to some patrons safely, AT.
Very safe.
Because I'm also very wary of it all, too. So we'll be masked and we'll be ready to talk. And we'll have those voices. We'll have some great voices and reaction for y'all on Tuesday in our podcast. So stay tuned for that. Now, AT, what have you been up to? I think you told me you had some personal news on the home front.
Personal news, she's not leaving me.
Oh, yeah, so, you got that letter? Okay, good.
Yeah, she's really, so everyone knows Gavin's got a cheese grater on his face.
Oh, yeah.
And you haven't seen me ever because I'm not the face of the pod, but I have a fantastic crustache, a quarantine crustache. Like,
let them hear it.
You need the, here it is. Oh, that's a good one.
So much ASMR.
Yeah. If it's the right light, you can't see it. You know, that's the kind of weak mustache
it's getting
that
better.
I have.
It's less translucent. Well,
I'm the least hairy Lebanese guy you'll ever see. Well, she's gone a full 180 and she enjoys the mustache. Yeah. So it's good. A personal renaissance I've gone through where everyone knows that I like to Photoshop gross, disgusting things. And I've recently cut out Steve Buscemi's eyes. Mm. And like a phoenix, I have risen from the fire and born anew with cleansing flames.
Everyone needs something creative.
I've been photoshopping Steve Buscemi's eyes on every photo of all my friends and their children.
Yeah,
and I love it. It's great. If anyone has any picture you want me to put Buscemi's eyes on, let me know. Towner, I'm talking to you.
Even if you don't send it to us, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
We'll probably put one on the Instagram accounts where I tease our meme, dank meme lord, spelt very Dutch-like.
Gavin, I heard that you have stumbled upon some truths.
Who told you that? Who told you that?
I heard that you learned your eyes are wide open now.
Well, you know how you were ridiculing me for only knowing about Project Blue Book? Well, I know a lot more now.
Mm. Give me a little taste of what you know.
I prefer not to, not on here, because they can hear it.
Who are they, and what do they hear?
Well, they are among us. No, I watched Hangar One, this like really cheesy show based on like the mutual UFO network, MUFON. God, I mean, you hear it over and over again, but it's like they go through their files. They talk about all these different like sightings and events and, you know, how aliens have interwoven themselves in our history and these, you know, the presidents know about it, all this stuff. And
real obvious stuff.
Really,
if you
it's
about
just
it.
Like, I, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, everything's, it's obvious if you just open your eyes.
Yeah.
It's all around us, man. Wake up. But, I mean, tell me, call us in. Tell us if you've had a UFO experience. I want to know. I've never had one. I can't, I mean, I'm just, you know, making light, but I'm willing to believe, you know, I'm not necessarily the Scully of our relationship, but I would probably put myself more in that category because we both love X-Files. Can't get
You're Scully. You're Scully.
Oh, I wouldn't say I'm squarely Scully. I'm probably the cigarette guy, actually, if you think about it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm the man, baby.
You know who's definitely an alien is David Foster Wallace, the author of Infinite Jest.
So mad that you forgot to mention that last time. I hope everyone loves our buddy, like, drive time podcast portion of the podcast. But no, I mean, it's good because it's easy to watch. You know, you reach rock bottom on Netflix and you're just like, just give me something. So it's a nice like 45 minutes. There's a couple of different episodes within one where they're different stories. And, you know, everyone, you know, there's like this spaceship, like a TR-3B, some sort of like intergalactic, you know, ship that we have now produced in the country.
I love this. I absolutely love this.
I mean, it's
you look
all
like
there.
A raving lunatic.
I got my headphones on. I got my mustache.
You look crazy. Okay, let's take it home. Let's say that's enough. That's enough light. Truth.
Oh, I'll take you home. I'm gonna take you to the interwebs where we know the truth. Okay, well, thanks again for tuning into the pod. You can always keep up with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. They're out there hustling right alongside us, giving you the great news and information so you can be safe and productive. Now, once you get your fill of news, though, take a break, go for a walk, call someone you haven't talked to in a while, write a letter, call us, voicemail, 803-563-7169. And you can always follow me on Twitter for the latest news at Gavin Jackson. And I'll let you know if the governor's having a press conference that day. We usually carry it on SCETV and Southcom Public Radio platforms around 4:30. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this week. And as the situation continues to develop, we are in full-scale hashtag lead, laugh, love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I think you're confused about, like, the public NASA and then, like, the real NASA, which knows what's really going on.
Oh.